where Westport comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
One of our local political watchdog organizations is the League of Women Voters, of which I've proudly been a member for over 30 years myself. And joining us now is Laura Smits, who has recently taken over. Laura, what is your title? Are you the head of the state? Are you the head of Connecticut's League of Women Voters now?
Yes, I am, Lisa. I am. I'm president of the League of Women Voters of Connecticut.
Thank you very much. Can I ask you, Laura, and I really don't know the answer to this, is the League of Women Voters a nonpartisan organization?
Yes. For over 100 years, since we secured the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote, we have been working towards policy issues. We don't support candidates specifically. We just want people to be involved. And the only way to do that in a fair basis is to be nonpartisan.
So by nonpartisan, you're saying that you do take sides with respect to legislation, but you don't take sides with respect to human beings that are running as candidates.
Correct. We're all about issues as opposed to, I mean, most of our members and most of our issues, because we're a women's organization, tend to lean toward the progressive end of things. But it's really about human rights and basic rights as opposed to getting involved in ideology and party politics.
Okay. So, Laura Smits, thank you for joining us, because I saw that you were prominently mentioned in a recent newspaper article in which you were monitoring on behalf of the people that aren't going to be there and don't know about this. What is going on right now with Connecticut's plans to redistrict after our census? Give us the big picture. What's happening?
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. The big picture is this. We are the Constitution state, which can be a little daunting sometimes, because when it comes to modernizing things or changing how things are done, we have to go into the Constitution to change them. And that goes as far as, I mean, that's as far as some of the issues we had last year trying to expand voting during the pandemic. People also found out how difficult it was to go around that constitutional stuff. So our redistricting process is also embedded in our Constitution. And it is our the way that we do redistricting every 10 years is through a reapportionment committee, which is four Democrats and four Republicans chosen by the party leaders in the state Senate and the state House. And they must submit a plan that they work together. They take the census data and they work together to basically draw the lines. It's not a great process. We were just talking about New York's process. Ours is fair in the sense that both parties are involved, but it's still kind of a semi-backroom organization where people are doing things without transparency to the public. And that's one of the issues that we have a real problem with about it, is the lack of transparency. Now, to be fair, this year's census data was delayed. I don't know if you recall, but a few months back, there was the Trump administration had tried to put a citizens question into the census.
Yes.
Remember that? That was kind of unfortunate, because that's not the point of the census. The census is not about citizenship. It's about counting who's here. And that goes all the way back to the original Constitution. So that delayed it. And then, of course, we had the pandemic delaying a lot of things, which, unfortunately, the data was supposed to be given to us like 5 months before August, which is when we actually got the data. So the process was kind of condensed. And as such, the lack of the timeline basically made it difficult for the public to find out about when the hearings would be held, because there's supposed to be hearings. There's supposed to be all kinds of ways for the public to engage in this process. Not that they can get in that back room with that closed door and do anything about it, but at least they could pressure legislators to know that, hey, we're watching. We're paying attention to this. And I think part of the difficulty with the census is it's every 10 years. Whereas regular election cycles are 2 years, 4 years, we kind of get used to that. Whereas this one, people kind of forget about it, right, until afterwards. But it's difficult because, as you say, the lines, if you've ever looked at a map, and we had in the Connecticut Mirror article, which is the one that I was in, we had the map of Connecticut. And there are a couple of districts that look like claws. They're not salamanders, but they're claws, you know. So it's they're not really fairly drawn either. As an example of how silly some of it is, I used to live in Weston, which you know, mm-hmm. and Weston
yes.
is a you know has 6,400 voters basically, and they have two districts. They have the 28th and the 26th. So you can go, there's a couple of streets in Weston where one side of the street is one district and another side of the street is another district. Oh, that's ridiculous in a town that size. You know, so some of this stuff does it just doesn't make sense. And the bigger problem is in the cities when you take some of the major neighborhoods and you're breaking them up within major urban areas. So it's more yeah. people who are not disenfranchised, but they're it's just not like, you know, we talk about how important it is for local spirit, community spirit, being together. And here we are, our district reapportionment is honestly breaking up neighborhoods. So it's kind right. of like, it's kind of ridiculous. And I think what you're talking about New York, it's kind of interesting. The Democrats are always, oh, it's the Republicans doing the gerrymandering, right? It's always the Republicans doing the bad thing. Well, actually, in this case, in New York, it's not. And I used to live in upstate New York. Upstate New York is way different than downstate New York. So mm-hmm. that, and New York's a big state. So that's not really right either. I think
yeah.
that.
And in fact, in New York, yeah, we're chatting with Laura Smits of the League of Women Voters. In New York, the way they wrote the law, Laura, was that despite uh-huh. this committee, this gerrymandering committee, the committee can't do anything, literally, without the approval of the state political leaders. So the committee right. is a committee in name only. It doesn't mean anything. They said it's meaningless. It's very obvious the way they wrote the law that the people in power were still going to be the ones with the final say.
Right. So it kind of shows you that this hypocrisy lives on both sides, for sure.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, so kind of just.
Yeah. So let me go back to Connecticut for a little bit. So in uh-huh. Connecticut right now is what districts, from what you can see, are being possibly going to change? I saw in this article that Wilton was singled out as a town that had several different people representing it, but it didn't say whether or not the people in Wilton were unhappy about that. And I'll give you an example. Mark Garofolo of Derby was cited as saying that he was unhappy because he wanted Derby to be represented by one person. Now, this is his point of view, and I think he's some kind of an office holder in Derby. But there was mm-hmm. another person from Wallingford who said, we like the fact that we have all these different people in Hartford representing us. We are happy that we've been broken up and sliced different ways because we think we have more representation, not just one person. You could argue it either way.
You really can. And that's part of the problem. There's other better ways to do this. California and Oregon have done it with independent committees that are basically made up of, instead of legislators, they're made up not just legislators, but with people, like regular people or groups that represent underrepresented groups, like minority, public, you know, issues kinds of people who have more, who just have a little more, they represent people who don't have those kinds of power. So the problem is, it's like everybody, it's all subjective. Everybody wants their power to stay the way it is. And that's part of the problem. It's always the people who have the power are going to keep their power. They're not going to like open the door and say, yeah, let's do this fairly. Let's do this. As much as they say they want that, they really don't. It's really not in their best interest.
Nobody ever wants to give up. Nobody ever wants to give up power. We see this all the time in every venue. So from the League of Women Voters point of view, as you've been watching this, what do we as the voters, what should we be paying attention to? Are there opportunities for us to watch these hearings, to speak to our legislators? What do you think that we should be doing?
Well, we should be paying attention. And that's kind of difficult in our world where there's so many things to pay attention to. Right now, they held hearings last week. I spoke at the first hearing in Hartford. I think there was 10 of us, maybe. And that includes legislators. So it's kind of difficult as well for people to show up publicly. And as much as legislators say they, you know, want participation, well, it's convenient that it's hard to participate if you can't go into a building, you know, if you can't
that's
participate
right.
because of the pandemic. So it kind of works to their advantage. But they were all there. All of the committee members were there, and they listened to us. And basically, we can only pay attention to what they give us. And that was really our cry to them was, look, whatever you do, just do it. Transparency is so important. Whatever you do, put it out there for us to see. Use social media to put these maps out there, because it doesn't take a lot, or it shouldn't take a lot, for the people in charge to get the public involved. But it's like an extra burden for them to do this. They have people in their office who can do this. If you have a map and you're drawing it, well, put it up there. Let's take a look at it. But it's kind of like it's a kind of thing where they want participation, but they don't. You know, so we can.
Do you
only
see a particular trend that Laura Smits? Do you see a particular trend or a particular district that you think ought to be redistricted because it does look like a claw that you think we should know about?
Well, this District 1 is one of those that looks kind of funny, but it's not. The thing is, it's kind of hard for us to say, because we're not on the ground in those neighborhoods, right? I don't really know enough about that area to see. That's why we have to kind of rely on the legislators to be fair, and we have to get those people that live there to ask for what they want. But you're always going to get two people who are going to want opposite things, even if they live next door to one another. You know, there's really not much we can do about that. But state website.
I'm looking at District 1. That's Weathersfield and part of Hartford. Is that the one?
Right. The claw one. The one that looks like a claw, as we say.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
And I
it
think
looks
that's
like
bordered on the
yeah.
Right. So that's our most weirdly drawn district. And the one next to it, I believe it's 5, is
oh,
the other
5
one
is very
like,
weird. Yeah.
Right. And if you recall, I think that was 10 years ago or more, actually, it might have been more than 10 years ago, that Danbury lost somebody. So we lost someone in that district because of the census data change. So there's the 10-year thing is kind of the hassle, right? Because everybody remembers and they get all excited about it. And even for us, we've worked very hard in the past month and a half. We've been working on people-powered fair maps for years now, to try to get people to pay attention to this process, especially in places where there's underrepresentation. But it's one of those things where it's just, you know, oh, I don't have to vote on it for 10 years. I have to pay attention to it for 10 years. And then once it's done, everybody's like, okay, let's relax again for 10 years.
Okay. So you're talking, I just want to correct myself, because I was referencing a state district when I was talking about Weathersfield and Hartford. You're talking about the claw that is the congressional district of District 1. That literally looks
correct.
Like a claw. That's the federal congressional district. And you
right.
can see how 5 and 1 are wrong. If you look at a map of Connecticut and it's different colors, it's very easy. Somebody's taken the trouble to do it. Tarrington and New Britain and Avon and Simsbury and something with a C that I can't read on this thing ought to be in 1. And Colebrook and something else and something else ought to be in 5. I mean, I could see this with it. And that might mean that
right.
one would actually go Republican, because it may be that Tarrington is more. I don't really know. I don't know if Avon and Simsbury.
Right.
Simsbury, I think, is more Democrat. But it doesn't matter. If you look at the map,
right.
just look at it, congressional map of the state of Connecticut, you will see that 1 in 5 have been gerrymandered. You can see it with the naked eye. It's there.
Right. Right. And it's kind of funny. Yeah. 5 is a little bit crazy. and the one next to it is much better. So we can look at this as like regular people and say, this can't be right. Right. I mean, that's kind of what we can all agree on. But really, there's not too much we can do. And what we have been telling people is to reach out to the people that are on the committee. And some of that's on our website. Some of that was in the article in the Connecticut Mirror that I talked about. And basically let them know, okay, look, there's not much we can do, but let's you guys say you're public servants, right? This is what you're supposed to do, is serve the public in a fair and equal manner. So please, when you go into that room, remember that we're watching you, and there may be consequences. There's really not a lot we can do except vote, right? That's really our superpower as regular citizens. So the process is the last hearing was on the 14th. It was a Zoom. There was just one virtual. And we were able to have a bunch of people in some of these districts get up and say things that, you know, okay, we know we can't do much about this, but we ask that you at least try to pay attention to fairness and try to pay attention when you reapportion these maps so that it makes more sense to everyone. So that next time we look at this map, it won't look this crazy. You know, it won't look this disjointed. But we were able to, at least this year, I don't know if you recall, we were able to get prison gerrymandering out of the picture, which is something that Connecticut had a real issue about and we had a real problem with, because that's not fair. Basically, what was happening before was that the money for an area, like say if you were in jail in Enfield, the money for you would go to Enfield rather than your hometown, which might be Bridgeport or New Haven, where your family might live and might need that money, right? The apportionment kind of thing. So that was recently changed because that wasn't fair, because it's not like somebody chooses to go to prison and live in Enfield, right? They're not choosing that. They're going because they have to. So
you know, I really wasn't sure about that. I have to tell you, we're chatting with Laura Smith of League of Women Voters. I'm glad that you're bringing that up. I wasn't sure how I felt about that because I thought it depended to some extent on the length of the prison sentences. I mean, if you've got a sentence of 5 years or more, you are living in that other place. You are.
But
you don't
not,
maybe don't want to be, itself. But you are.
Right. You are. But technically, you're not. It's not like you chose to do it. It's not like I'm going to buy a house in Enfield. I'm going to be, you know what I mean? It's not.
But isn't the point of the money? But isn't the money supposed to go where the bodies are, because the bodies require food and housing and electricity and shelter? I mean, it's not about you, whether you chose. Go ahead. I was just going to say, I don't think it's relevant in the conversation about whether you chose to be there. I think it's a question of why was the money being given to that district to begin with? That's what I would ask.
Well, because the money that the prison system is paid by the state anyway, not the town. So the town was benefiting on the fact that the bodies were there, not by choice. It's complicated, and that's a whole other story for another day. But the regular, back to regular gerrymandering, this is kind of where we're at, in that the sense that it's kind of done by a bunch of guys, mostly. There's a couple of women on the committee. But it's a fair process, but it's not an equal process. So really, it's really, there's not much we can do except pay attention and ask that they share the maps when they start to draw them, and that there's time for public input on those maps. And the process goes through February.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, every 10 years, Connecticut has to hold its breath, because as the population grows in general and Connecticut doesn't, we are now five districts. We may end up going to four. And when we were six and we went to five, that's where you had the real fight. That's where the gerrymandering began to begin with, or got worse, I would say. It's probably always been around. Right. And then if we go to four from five, somebody has to lose a seat, and you know someone's not going to be happy about it. So we would have another fight again. But I think this particular census, Laura Smith, we escaped. It looks like we're holding on to all five seats.
I'm pretty sure this is, things are not going to get that much different at all.
Yeah.
According to the census, our population was different. Stamford got a lot of people, whereas other places did not, Hartford.
Right.
Shrank. So it's
That's
complicated
right.
by that. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you very much, Laura Smith, League of Women Voters. Thanks for keeping an eye on all of this for us. I know that for many people, it's not a first priority and it's boring and it's this and it's that, but it really has an impact on who leads us, and who leads us has an enormous impact on our lives. So thanks very much for keeping an eye on this. We appreciate it. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for having
All
me.
Right.
Take care.
Pleasure. Laura Smith's on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.